It's time now for the Sports Objective Podcast. No talking heads, just guys who love sports. Here's Dave Richmond.
Welcome into the Sports Objective Podcast, our Pirates playback. The Pirates get a big win over UConn, the third win of the season, thank goodness, 55-21. Our usual suspects, we have Kyle from the Greens Barber. Happy Sunday to you, sir.
What's going on, David? Good to be here.
Having breakfast with Kyle from LaGrange, awesome. And also Bubba Rosenbaum. What's up, dude?
Not much, just on my way back. I'm actually about Durham, and I'm just looking forward to talking about a Pirate victory.
All right, keep it between the lines while you're doing the podcast. And we're very happy to have Alan Powell, who is affectionately known as, for many years, Pirate Al. Hey there, Alan, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Dave. I appreciate you guys asking me to join you this week. Looking forward to talking to Pirate sports.
Well, I was saying before we started, I think the ratings are going to be through the roof to have Kyle from LaGrange and Pirate Al on the same show. What do you think?
Well, I'll tell you what, back in the day, I used to call in quite a bit, but, you know, when they went to this new format over there a few years back where the coaches don't take calls, I quit calling, to be honest with you. So I don't really, I used to be on the radio quite a bit with those guys, but I don't know why they did what they did as far as the coaches deciding not to take phone calls. I'm not sure if it was IMG decision on that or if it was a coach's decision. But anyway, but I'm glad to be on with you guys, that's for sure.
Well, that actually helped us out because this gives a forum where we can have on fans and obviously former players, administrators, whomever, they'll come on. The platform is here for them. So
yeah,
they won't give us a voice. We created our own voice.
And Al, I don't know if you tweet your question to Jeff Charles, or let me throw Jeff Charles under the bus. Let me rephrase that. If you tweet your question out to the Coach Mo Show, they may ask it if it approves the censors.
Yeah, I know that takes all the fun out of it.
Exactly.
I remember one time asking Coach Logan back in the day on the radio if we were, we kept striking out on junior college kids back then. And I asked if we were doing the right thing by keep bringing these junior college kids, and he went absolutely insane. So I miss those days, man.
I do too.
Al was great.
I was going to say, Al, it's funny you brought that up as far as Coach Logan. I remember, I think it was the 2000 game against Houston when David Garrard, he didn't get injured or anything, but we had a very large lead in that game. We were up probably 40 or 50 points in the third quarter, and rather than play Arnie Powell, because of course that was when Richard Austin got in some trouble, and rather than play Arnie Powell, we just kept David in the entire time, and somebody asked him about that two or three times, and then they finally got hung up on.
I think what he told me was, he goes, look, I'm not a prophet, what do you want me to do? I can't predict. I mean, he went berserk or whatever, it was,
yeah.
But I miss the days of actually talking to the coaches, but who knows, maybe one day they'll get that back and actually take phone calls.
Well, I think that Al being a part of the media, it's very frustrating when you see, like, from a media standpoint, when you hear all the time about the program not being transparent, they're not coming clean about certain things. We can get some variety of topics, I'm sure, today, including the playback of the game. We'll talk about that. But for me personally, it's very frustrating when you have a media background and then you have stuff like that where the coaches show. The only reason I listen to the coaches show is because of Jeff Charles, as much as I think of him and admire him and obviously think of him as a friend, and I hope he does me, but that's the only reason why I listen to the coach's show now, because there's no the part of a coach's show is not to have an infomercial for your team. It's to get the fans interacting and help promoting your team, and I think that's something that we could, I know, spend a whole podcast on, but I think it's helped us out, so I guess that's the most important thing, and for sure. And Kyle, when thinking back, you were a teenager, if my memory serves me right, when I heard Kyle from LaGrange the first time calling in the radio.
Yeah, at the time I was calling from Williamson, though. Yeah, you're right. I was calling the Coach Logan show as a teenager, calling the Arnie Spaniard show as a teenager, calling the Brian Bailey show as a teenager,
yeah.
Calling the Piggly Wiggly post-game scoreboard as a teenager.
You guys are shameless.
And now I'm 30, how old am I? I'm 38 years old. And so I've been doing this for damn over half my life. I've been calling in about Pirate Athletics.
So that makes you a great Pirate, right?
Well, it depends on who you ask.
Well, I think that anytime when you have an Alan Powell and when you have a Kyle Barber, Bubba Rosenbaum, the three that are on the podcast with me right now, it would be very difficult for anybody to argue that you're not a good Pirate. So, and I'm not just saying that to be nice. I truly can. Your records all speak for themselves, how many games you're going to. I don't know what the criteria is to be a great Pirate, but I just know when I know when I see it. Wanted to ask about, Alan, I wanted to ask your opinion, because everybody gets to hear ours on a regular basis. What is your opinion so far of the AD search, and what do you think? Who are you looking for? I know who you like, but I just want to get your idea and your take on the AD search right now.
Well, I think it's being handled correctly, being very close to the vest. Dave Hart's pretty much, seems like to me, is definitely calling the shot on that, and they just formed that committee, it seems like, to come kind of rubber stamp whatever he decides to do. For political reasons, I guess, you have to kind of do that and have a mixed people on the committee there. But I think it's going right. The problem we have is this curveball has been thrown at us. And really everybody is making a coaching change, is moving that signing date up from the first Wednesday in February until I think this year is December the 19th. So we're really under the gun here. We're going to have to hire an AD, I think, by the end of November, somehow, some way. And he's going to have to go ahead and make a decision on what we're going to do with Coach Mo. And, you know, if a change is made, then we're going to have to hire a new coach to try to salvage that recruiting class. So, I mean, it's not like it's February where it used to be, where we had a little bit of room to play with here. I mean, we're under the gun. But
hey, Pirate Al.
Yes.
I got a curveball to throw at you. You're talking about the signing day?
Yeah.
What if we fire Coach Mo after signing day?
Oh, boy, that'd be tough, man. That's tough to do that to the incoming recruits.
Oh, well, they've signed.
I know they signed.
I mean,
it could officially be done, but it'd be dirty, buddy. I mean, I don't know if I could. I just don't know if that'd be the right thing to do. But yeah, could it be done? Sure,
that'd win a lot of favor with high school coaches. Let me tell you.
Well, Harold Robinson's not a coach anymore, so I guess he wouldn't be trying to burn the house down, you know. But you know,
well, the incoming coach had nothing to do with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I'm not being serious, guys. I'm just telling you right now, it's going to happen somewhere.
Yeah. Well, you know, that brings an interesting point. You know, Alan, is that the fact, I know Bubba and Kyle and I talk about, but you know, with the way things have gone the last few years, I know we've said it many times on the podcast, that nothing would surprise me. You know, like you think, they would never do, you know, X, whatever it would be, and then, lo and behold, you find out, oh my God, we've done this. And so I think you can, the best way to do ECU athletics right now is expect the unexpected, and then that way you won't be so hurt and disappointed and outraged, and you get to be an evil person like Kyle from LaGrange.
Well, what I think we should probably do with the signing class, if you guys remember when Skip left, we basically promised Donnie Kirkpatrick a job with the next coaching staff, and he stayed on and kept the recruiting class together, and
yep.
And was retained by Ruffin. I think you could probably maybe do something similar with David Blackwell, promise him a job with the, you know, with the next coaching, the next head coach, and the next head coach is going to have to keep him on staff, and have David Blackwell keep this recruiting class together.
What do you think, Bubba?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Dave. I lost you there for a minute. Can you repeat the question or topic?
Yeah, I was talking about Blackwell. You remember when Skip left, Donnie K kind of stayed on and kept the recruiting class together, and then, you know, Ruff retained him. You could do something similar with Donnie Kirk with Blackwell, perhaps.
Most definitely, and David Blackwell is someone that has a lot of experience, and I believe it was Clemson guys, maybe, where he was recruiting coordinator under Bowden. So that, and then the other experience he has, and just the way he's transformed our defense this year, even if they had struggled the last couple weeks, there's been a severe change there for the positive, and so I think that would be an excellent idea.
What do you think, Al?
I'm sorry. Say that one more time, Dave. I'm sorry about that. Bubba, you kind of came in and out a little bit. We're trying to maintain the coaching staff.
We're trying to keep letting Blackwell kind of give him an opportunity to keep the coaching, to keep the recruiting class together with the opportunity of being retained by the incoming coach, like Donnie Kirkpatrick was on the skip to rough transition.
Yeah, I mean, the perfect situation that would happen. Donnie was a perfect one to do that back then. Blackwell, I'm hoping whoever the new coach is going to be, if we're going to have a new coach, and I'm probably 90% sure that's going to happen, I would absolutely somehow, some way try to keep Blackwell. The only problem is say we hire somebody like I'm not sure what kind of defense James Madison has, but you know, say we get Coach Houston, his entire staff. I'm not sure what the coordinator is like up there, defensive coordinator. But
I believe it's Bob Trott, who had been at Duke, if I'm not mistaken. I know he'd been there in the past, and then Mike Houston, I think, had been his own coordinator, or at least had a background on that side of the ball.
Yeah, for continuity purposes, I think we need to hold on to at least one coach. If we had to name one coach to hold on to, it would definitely be Blackwell. But I'm just hoping if things work out right, we can go ahead and get this AD hired and then hire a new coach within at least a week, 10 days before signing day, and we can keep this class. I mean, that's the best case scenario. So
now with Mike Houston, you run into a problem. Whereas JMU most likely is going to make the FCS playoffs. They're 8-3, so they'll probably get an at-large. If they make a run, will we have to wait on him to get done with his playoff run before he'll take the time to interview?
Well, maybe it'd be like a Scott Frost deal last year with UCF, where he just goes ahead and makes a commitment to Nebraska and agrees to coach out the year with his team. So, I don't know.
Speaking of JMU guys, they really have, I think they were 6-3 prior to the last couple of weeks, but then they've got a couple of victories by 17 to 21 points over key conference opponents. I think one of which was Towson the last 2 weeks. So they're looking like they're going to be just fine for the playoffs.
I got an interesting note. We haven't got into it yet, but I'm sure we will. The Southern Miss AD, John Gilbert, who is, according to the Daily Reflector, emerged as our top candidate because of his ties to Dave Hart, which I'm not really big on that hire. I got too many friends at USM that aren't huge fans of his, honestly. One of my Southern Miss buddies told me last night that he talked to a high-level donor who said that Gilbert's very very dull and never give straight answers to questions. So who does that sound like?
We just got rid of that situation, didn't we?
Yeah, but I will tell you this, what is interesting about Gilbert to me. He's a graduate of Lenoir Ryan. He played football there. And can any of you guys tell me who used to be the head coach at Lenoir Ryan that took them to the national championship game?
Absolutely. Mike Houston.
Yes. So I would assume Gilbert is very familiar with Mike Houston, being he took his alma mater to the national championship game. So that is interesting to me.
Or guys, let me throw this at you: if we decide not to go with a current head coach, I mean, there's a lot of guys out there that taking a year or two off.
Butch Jones.
I mean, I don't know if East Carolina will do it, but I mean, you got people like Rich Rodriguez out there.
Oh my God!
You got people like
Holton Ahlers with Rich Rodriguez.
Oh man! Oh, that's a perfect offense for Holton Ahlers. Perfect. But I mean, you got some quality coaches out there that hadn't been in the game for a year or two that could immediately jump right on board and put a staff together and let's go for it. I mean,
is one that we've talked about.
We've talked about Rich ad nauseum because I love Rich Rodriguez, and I think what happened to him at Arizona was criminal. You had a woman that accused him of something he didn't do, and then he came out and called her out and said, we were having an affair. I didn't do anything to that woman. And then guess what she did?
What's that?
When he got fired, she dropped the charges.
Yeah, how about that, huh?
Yeah.
How about that?
I feel bad for Rich Rod. He's a great coach. But the reason I mentioned Butch Jones, obviously, is because of Dave Hart and John Gilbert's ties to Butch Jones.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Hey, I'll throw another one at you guys. And he, you talking about a big time recruiter? How about Hugh Freeze?
Yeah, that's where we were.
Yep. I actually reached out to Hugh Freeze. I haven't heard back from him yet, but yeah, Hugh Freeze is another name that would certainly be intriguing.
And with, you got to change your name to Bunny Rosenbaum to get a response from Hugh Freeze.
And with Hart's connections with Alabama and Tennessee, all those SEC connections, you know, I'm sure he knows Hugh Freeze fairly well. So I mean, it's you know, there's a lot of really good candidates out there.
What do you guys think Pirate Nation's reaction would be to Hugh Freeze with his background? It wouldn't bother me at all, but some people would maybe have a problem with that hire.
I think they would have a problem until we win the first game by 50 points, and then everybody forget about it.
Yeah, that's about right.
Kind of like Mike Price back at Alabama in the day, and then UTEP took a chance on him.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say with Hugh Freeze, he did, you know, wrong. He apologized for it. It was a bad thing. But I think with us, we're the perfect school for him. Being an American, it is a great league. There is a lot of money. But he could definitely do very well here. And you know, if some people may say he's going to be here for 4 or 5 years. So what? He would put us back on the map, and we would be in the top 25 again. I don't have any doubt about that, and I think that he's the type of person that I thought he was remorseful what he had to say, and he made a mistake, and I don't think it's not the best thing in the world. However, we're in a business to win football games, and people may think that's terrible for me to say, but some of the nicest people we've had, John Thompson, he was a nice guy, but we didn't win games. So you kind of have to find a ground there. And if you go that route of we're looking for a nice guy, well, there's plenty of nice guys out there, but can they coach football and can they win football games?
Hugh Freeze is a nice guy. Hugh Freeze is, you know, he just should have had a burner phone. That's just, you know, how stupid can you be to use the, use the school phone? I mean, come on, Hugh. I'm going to coach you up, brother.
Take your Family Dollar and Dollar General, dude. Come on.
Exactly. Track phone, baby.
So, hey, guys, the one that I'd really want, but I'm sure it's crossing the line big time. And you were saying, Dave, I mean, would the average Pirate fan go nuts? Probably. But if you want to win, bring in Art Briles, brother. I can tell you that right now. But
how about we just get his son Kendall, and then we don't get all the rape allegations? Kendall, I've talked about this ad nauseum, actually, on this podcast. I think Kendall Briles is a hell of a coach. I think he's doing a great job as OC down at Houston. I actually think Major Applewhite is struggling a bit managing that program, and I think the reason for the success they're having is because of Hugh Freeze. Just like last year at FAU, I said, I watched FAU play several times. I said, that's not Kendall Briles' offense. That's not
Lane Kiffin's
offense. That's the Baylor offense. And sure enough, look at FAU this year. They're not even bowl eligible yet. They have to win that quick to get bowl eligible. Meanwhile, Houston's going to most likely win the West. You hire Kendall Briles, you can probably get him pretty cheap being the OC at Houston. And he could probably put together a pretty good staff. And what you would get then is his dad. Because nobody will touch his dad. You know, his dad got a job as offensive coordinator in the CFL, and he got such backlash, they fired him 2 days later.
Isn't he coaching over in Europe somewhere now?
Yeah. He may be coaching in Europe. I that would probably be right, but he can't get a job anywhere that matters.
I think Germany is what I heard. I don't know if that's true.
The point is, Kendall would have access to his dad, obviously, full access. So to me, you would get Art Briles without having to hire Art Briles. What would y'all think of that?
I don't have a problem with it at all. Kendall Briles didn't do anything wrong, and he is a sharp mind. And if you're going the offensive coordinator route, then he's definitely on the short list for me, no doubt about it. There's Alan was talking about. There's coaches that have set out for a year or two. You've got that category. You have the shamed coaches, I guess, if you will, like the Rich Rod and the Hugh Freeze route. You have guys that have never been coaches. Well, another one that comes to mind.
The FCS head coaches also.
FCS coaches. You've got also the current FBS or FCS head coaches. So there's a different there's different categories of how you hire a coach. And I think when it comes to what we've been through the last few years, I say all of the above. I interview as many guys as you can is the way I look at it to get the right one.
I got another former head coach. Well, there's a couple former head coaches. There's three former head coaches that don't really have any baggage, that don't have jobs right now that are good. One is who we mentioned earlier. Good God. Tennessee's head coach. I said his name for 5 minutes.
Butch Jones.
Butch Jones. No baggage there. The Florida head coach, I'm terrible with names.
McElwain. Jim McElwain.
Yeah, he really has no baggage. What happened there was a bunch of nonsense. There's no controversy there. He's a good coach. And then the third one is a guy who's kind of got a reputation for being a bit of an asshole, but Todd Graham. I mean, and that's really his only baggage, is that he's known as kind of being an asshole. Todd Graham's an excellent coach, and that's another guy that's out there without a job.
Oh yeah, he sure is. You're talking about a fireball man, but yeah, he's he brings a lot of passion, just like Jim Leavitt would. I mean, incredible amount of passion to the program right away.
Yeah, and the guy won at Rice in a hurry.
He did. He's won everywhere, and
he beat us at Rice.
What was there? Right. He was there one and done, wasn't he? One
right,
and done.
Went to Tulsa,
yes, yep. Yes.
But you know, he wants to get back into coaching. He tried. It looks like Kansas is going to hire Les Biles, but. Todd Graham, according to the Coaching Rumor Mill websites, reached out to the Kansas AD about that job. I actually think Todd Graham, I think Les Miles is a better coach, but I think Todd Graham would have been a better fit at Kansas than Les Miles, in my opinion.
Let me ask another, you another question.
I was just going to say another coach, guys, that I know Kyle's extremely high on, if we go the unproven head coach route that has a strong pedigree, and that's Shane Beamer out at Oklahoma.
Yeah.
I think Shane, with his contacts, especially with his father, could one thing about him, he could put a heck of a staff together. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, he could be the leader of the program, of course, being the head coach. But, I mean, I think he could bring a quality offense and defensive coordinator. I would rather have a Rich Rodriguez or a Hugh Freeze myself. But, yeah, but I would not – that would not scare me at all to maybe bring in Shane Beamer.
Hold on 1 second, David, then I'll shut up. About Shane Beamer, one thing that I've mentioned, Al, let's see what you think of this. A lot of the fans that are really, really still hurt over the Ruff and McNeil situation, with Shane coaching with Lincoln and Ruff, just think if we were to hire Shane and Ruffin were to do something like tweet something like, hey, Pirate Nation, get behind my buddy Shane, new head coach in East Carolina. Think of what that could do to heal some wounds.
Yeah, it would definitely help. That's for sure. I mean, we're a divided pirate nation right now. I just hope that whoever we do hire can unify us and get us back on track. But it certainly wouldn't hurt, Kyle.
Well, I was going to say, Alan, Dave, can you imagine, and Kyle and Bubba, can you imagine you take a Mike Houston, a Rich Rodriguez, or a Hugh Freeze, and you put the David Blackwell on the defensive side of the ball? I mean, oh my God, you would just, I think it would be tremendous with the offensive defense. It would be where we're in a few years are knocking at the door again at the top 25. I really believe that.
Absolutely. And it'd be important, too, to go ahead and have a coaches on the current staff to be able to kind of bridge that gap between our returning players to have a familiar face on staff.
And if you get a guy like a Hugh Freeze, or you get Shane Beamer, Rich Rod, those guys, they wouldn't have a defensive coordinator. So you'd say, all right, I want you guys to meet. This guy's got a good reputation. He's a pirate. David Blackwell, he already knows the players. He's been on the mm-hmm. – we can help. Like you guys were saying earlier about, you know, one of the things I was going to mention earlier in the podcast and forgot, I just realized is, you know, when there's been people talking about the recruiting class being hurt, well, Pirate Al, you know – being you follow the program closer than just about anybody, we've already lost how many? 3 recruits that decommitted in the last few weeks, maybe more, but my last count I know was at least 3.
Three that I know of. The G.G. Williams kid, that was a big blow. But to be honest with you, the other two kids were they were borderline takes.
So I mean, we can live without the other two, but the Juju Williams kid, that was a big lick, man. That was your rush in. That was your next Nate Harvey type kid right there. But the other two kids aren't a huge loss, to be honest with you.
What about as far as you're talking about the recruiting class and all that, and the signing day? It looks like we're going to be okay overall. I mean, even if Montgomery is not retained, if he is fired, it looks like that even if we ball some, more than likely a lot of the kids are still going to come. You still got a lot of great talent on this team, believe it or not, at running back, every position. There's some question marks, I know, on the line, on both sides, on O-line and D-line. I would say that we need to definitely beef up, but we're going to be good. I think we're going to be good next year, and with the right coach and the right coaching staff, Alan, I think that they could have success early on. I really believe that.
I think so, too. The key is going to be, and we haven't had a decent offensive line in about 3-4 years. If we could somehow, some way, miraculously get that position where it's just an average offensive line, with the returning guys we've got, we could easily win 7-8 ball games next year. I mean, that to me, it all starts and stops and starts on the offensive line. We were last night because of, Connecticut's horrible, but we have not been competitive offensive line in a few years. And if we can get that fixed, then, I think we could be a solid football team.
Because when you look at it, we're only losing, as far as running backs, we're only losing Anthony Scott, right? If my memory serves me right, the rest of the guys will be coming back.
That's correct. Yes, sir. That's the only senior we have. That's right. And then, of course, it hurts to lose Trayvon. I mean, he's a big-time player. But you know what? That kid at Conley, C.J. Johnson, is an absolute stud.
Yes, sir.
I mean, he'll more than fill Trayvon's shoes. But you're right.
Talking about seniors, guys, and who may be coming back in 2019, what about the potential return of Nate Harvey if we can get him back? I was reading an article by Stephen Igo this morning on hoistthecolors.net talking about how Nate Harvey had broken Ed Oliver's AAC single-season TFL record. He has 24 now after last night.
Wow. Yeah, they announced that at the game last night. And number 40, it's amazing, Alan, how we've picked on Montgomery a lot on the show, but on the podcast. But how in the world do you have him and not recognize his speed, his talent? I know he's been putting in the hard work and next man up, but just the evaluation of talent, we could spend 2 or 3 podcasts on that, but it just seems like, why did it take David Blackwell to come here and move him to the defensive side of the ball? And then he has the record for the American now for TFLs, and he also is and look how many sacks we've had because of not only him, there's other players, but he really comes to mind when it comes to how many sacks we've had this year.
He's an incredible athlete. I mean, he's not that big, but he's so fast. I mean, he's about 235-240 pounds.
Yeah.
I mean, the offensive tackles just can't block him. I mean, he's a former running back, and he was a special teams guy last year, and then right in spring football they decided to try him at defensive end. And I mean, he's special, and I'm hoping and praying that he gets that next. He gets one more year. I mean, I know that's what Mo said, that he was hoping to have another senior game ball for him next year this time. But man, to get him back, that'd be our whole defensive front back. All 4 guys would be back next year. That'd be strong.
Fire now. What do you said you think it's 90% chance that the decision's going to be made to get rid of Montgomery? What are you hearing, man? I mean, do you feel strongly? You said 90% chance that he won't be back. What do you think is going to have to happen for Montgomery to be retained?
I just don't see it happening. But I think we need to go out and somehow, some way, win our last 2 games to get some momentum, get everybody feeling good. But the problem we have is, when you look out there in the stands, and it's taken 3 years to get to this point. But I mean, you're looking out there at 15,000-20,000 people, if you're lucky. I mean, just all the hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars we're losing. It's just financially, it's draining. I don't think we have a choice. We've got to energize this fan base. And I think the only way you can energize it is to bring in a new coach, or if a miracle happens and we happen to win these last 2 games and get some kind of momentum going into 2019.
that's what my thoughts are too. It just scares me knowing Staten and Shanahan, and it just almost seems like they want to do the opposite of what certain fans want to do. It's like it all started with the conference stuff, and that got Staten and Shanahan all, you know, angry at a certain group of fans, and I wonder sometimes if they just want to spite us.
You know, I think it sucks too because I really like Mo as a person. I mean, he's a class act. He's done everything the right way. I've been pulling for him for 3 years to kind of turn the ship around. You know, it's not like he's a jerk and you know, let's get him out of town. I mean, I hate it. I mean, the last resort for me was to have to fire him and bring in somebody new. I mean, I was pulling for him to win enough games to keep on trucking, but we're just losing so much money, guys.
And yeah. Another thing is when you look at Pardell and Bubba and Kyle. I know. I was about to choke there. So I didn't want to do that on the podcast. Year three for a lot of the coaches, when you look at across the board, you look at Logan, you look at Ruff, you look at Skip, you know, there's a lot of the third year seems to be the breakout. And that was what we were hearing, you know, from media and a whole bunch of people. Year three is going to be the year. And it's not like I'm knocking Mo or anything. I'm just saying that was kind of like the benchmark that had been set. If you look at, we talked about last week right here on the podcast, Alan, that you look at that A&T game, that was a winnable game. You look at the South Florida game, we were in that game, had a good chance to win. Mm-hmm. You know, like there's a lot of games, the Memphis game, there's a lot of games that you could go back to that we could have, should have, would have, in the Tulane game, definitely last week, and we didn't. And we literally could have been bowl eligible last night if we'd just taken care of business throughout the year. I think that's what, hindsight is 2020, but when you look back at the season, in fact, our very own Kyle said after the game, the A&T loss is going to come back to bite us. And if you look, if we went out, let's play that scenario. You went out. Well, if you just won A&T, just one of those games we just talked about, you're bowl eligible.
Oh, I know. And the game you didn't mention too, Dave, and we had a great shot, the Central Florida game. I mean, we're now, 12 or 13? There's about, 9 minutes to go in the game. I mean, we're on the one-yard line, and we, you know, unfortunately the ball slips out, and we fumble, they run it back, ball game. But we score there. It's like a 5 or 6 point game. We got about 8 minutes to go in the game. The crowd's going nuts. They've got their backup quarterback in the game. I don't know if they would have put Milton in then or not.
Yeah, they would have.
But, I mean, you don't know. Man, you don't know if we, you know, we could have pulled that one out too.
It's just strange how things like that happen, but it is. Let's talk about the game last night with being the playback for a little bit of time. And I know we can talk about other topics, but I was very happy to see all those things. One question that came to mind, let me go ahead and ask this question so I won't forget. I'm getting old, Pardell. I wanted to ask you, what are you hearing about? I was really upset. I think that he's going to transfer. Fetty, is he, when we were in the garbage minutes there and they were trying not to run up the score, it was obvious. And they put in the other kid, the redshirt freshman quarterback, instead of him. Is he
Caden Norman.
Yeah, Norman. Is he definitely going to transfer?
You know what? I think the reason why he hasn't gotten in the game the last 3 weeks, the kid's been really sick. Now, I don't know if he was last night or not. I don't know if he's still sick, but I know he's been sick the last few weeks.
Yeah.
But I would be 80%. I'm thinking I'm about 75% sure that Effetti's going to leave. I don't blame the kid. I like him. He needs an opportunity to play somewhere. But with him being behind Herring and, of course, Holton, and then we got two really good quarterbacks coming in, I just don't see, unless he wants to switch positions, and I understand he does not want to do that. And I hate to lose him, but I'd be pretty sure the kid's probably going to end up transferring.
Which is very sad because we do have, but it goes again to what I was talking about, and I'm not trying to beat a dead horse of not evaluating talent, because I know part of it is he's being stubborn. He wants to understand that. He wants to play quarterback, but my God, the guy is an absolute beast of an athlete, and that kind of kid, you hate to lose in the program, and hopefully, and he, not only that, but he's a tremendous competitor and also a tremendous teammate. After the Carolina game, he was congratulating Holton for his play and, you know, that kind of thing. Last year when we were, when he was redshirting, he was cheering on the teammates, and most of the teammates were not into the game, and he was really trying. So those are the kind of kids I want to see if we can keep, and I'm just praying there's some way that that we can keep him. I know it's looking doubtful, but I want to get y'all's take on that. It was just interesting last night.
If he'd be willing to change positions, you know, I'm not sure if he'd be willing to play receiver or maybe, you know, put 20 pounds on and be a tight end. The kid's a great athlete. I don't know if he's willing to do that or if it's like, you know, I'm a quarterback, period, the end. And if that's the case, I don't see him staying. But I hope maybe he'll switch positions like Devine Drew did back in the day and stay with the program.
It's the next year of college football these days. Quarterbacks transfer. I mean, hell, just look at East Carolina with Ben Kirk and Minshew. I mean, it's just if you don't play a quarterback, nobody's interested in being a backup anymore. If you ain't going to have a chance to start transferring somewhere, and Kingsley will probably, he's bound and determined to play quarterback. And I'm like y'all, I think he'd be a hell of a receiver probably if he's got good hands.
Yeah.
Lots of times quarterbacks can transfer into receiver pretty easy because they're familiar with route running and combinations and that kind of stuff. But he, you know, probably I think his best route would be go to an FCS. So, he's probably gone. And I don't blame him. If he wants to play quarterback, he wants to play quarterback.
Yeah, he's a good kid. And you obviously, again, he's been playing all his life, so he wants to continue to play. And I think one thing that hurt him, guys, and we'll move on, is last year he didn't have a good understanding of the playbook. And maybe some of our coaches don't either, but I'm just kidding.
We have a playbook.
Yeah, that was a joke. I know it was a cheap shot, but he definitely is a kid I like a lot. And so, anyway, I hope if he chooses to leave, we wish him the best. But I'm hoping that he'll find room to stay. As far as the stats, Bubba, did you want to go over those?
Yeah. So when you take a look at last night's game, that was one. I think before I really get into the stats, last year, I mean, the game started off as a track meet last night, and of course, I think each team's first three possessions resulted in touchdowns. And then midway through the second quarter, our defense, I guess, made some adjustments, settled in, and then really only allowed 50 or 60 yards the last two and a half quarters. So they were clearly one of the biggest reasons we won. Obviously, Holton and the offense did what a lot of us probably thought we'd do against such an atrocious UConn defense, one that came in. And you think about this, guys, they were allowing, I think it was 49 points and 623 yards coming in. So, you know, we put up 55 and then what, maybe 655, 60 yards last night. So that wasn't much worse than a typical performance for the UConn defense. That's pretty mind-boggling.
Yeah, and we called the dogs off the whole fourth quarter too, man. We could probably had 750 easy. Easy.
Yeah.
It's the thing that I loved last night. Thank God we finally won the damn turnover battle. I mean, we, you know, first game I can think of in a long time. We actually got a couple turnovers, didn't turn the ball over.
Yeah, I actually, there's something I want to point out that could be helpful to us. If we are to pull off a couple of upsets here against NC and NC State, we saw a lot more passing last night than we normally do because UConn had to throw the ball on us because we got up there. And that could be helpful to our secondary going into these next two games, having to defend the pass last night. Of course, they knew it was coming because Connecticut didn't call it off. Connecticut couldn't rely on their running game because they were so far behind. And I was thinking with all the passing we saw last night, that could be helpful to our secondary going into these last two games.
Something else as far as the actual numbers that really stood out, and hats off to our coaches for sticking with what they said earlier in the week as far as committing to the running game. The last three games, we had combined to rush the ball 32 times for 92 yards. So last night, our running backs carry it 35 times for, I think, right at 275 yards. That's something that really stood out. And then, of course, you throw Holton's 130 yards on the ground in there, and we're 415 yards or so.
You guys think we'll see more of Trace Christians in these last two games?
I would definitely think so, especially with Penix is still banged up. I definitely think you'll see a lot of Trace.
And I was going to say, like you just mentioned, Kyle, with Trace Christian, 13 carries for 102 yards last night and a touchdown. And the running game was very balanced. So we had four guys on total over 50 yards, I think it was. Penix had 6 for 51. And then you had Hal, 10 for 55, and Scott, 6 for 60.
We have the, and again, Alan, we have the talent at a lot of positions, especially mm-hmm. skill positions, and we have a talented quarterback. We have talented wide receiver. The one question that I've had this year is, what in the world, why aren't we using more, and maybe you guys can help me with the football minds, tight ends. The tight end has been non-existent, and that's something that I've always loved about our program is we've been terrible blocking on the line, and you would think that you could at least use a tight end to block.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess McKinney and Bogle, I'm not sure how their hands are. That's a great question, Dave. I just don't know how well they did catching the football. So, that's something we need to bring in is actually a kind of like a H-back type tight end.
Yeah.
Like a Scott Richards back in the day, they can line up in the backfield, line up a tight end, and be able to catch the ball in the flat or whatever you need them to do.
Speaking of that, I know last night some play action passes fairly early in the game. Remember, I know one was going toward the boneyard. Xavier Smith got into action. Had
yes.
three catches for 60 yards. And then, obviously, we would also be very, very remiss if we did not mention Tyler Snead. How about that young man? In three games now, he has 15 catches for like 235 yards, four touchdowns. And
yeah, he's fun to watch.
He made
man, Tyler Wes Welker Snead.
Yes.
Yeah.
The kid is a damn clone of him, man. I'm telling you. And I tell you what, those little jitterbug dudes, man, they're just so hard to cover. I mean, I love having that kid. He's going to be special for the next 4 years.
Did you guys see him bust his ass after that touchdown catch last night?
Yeah, right in front of the Murphy Center. That was right in front of me. And then the other catch he made down in the Murphy Center end zone in the right corner over in front of Section 15 was tremendous as well. That was the first touchdown of the game.
Yeah. Yeah, that diving catch, yes. That was great. But after the I guess it was his last touchdown catch of the game, he just fell flat on his ass. He was fantastic. He ran out of the end zone and just bam, played like he fired out. I believe you're a big wrestling fan. Like he took a flat back bump, if you're familiar with that term.
Oh, man. Yeah. Hey, and going back to guys with Xavier Smith, now that's the type of kid I'm talking about. It's more like an H-back type kid that can do some damage catching the football. That might be our answer right there. I mean, I thought he was going to come in as a middle linebacker, but I mean, if he can help us at the tight end spot, we definitely need somebody there. But he's the type of athlete that can cause a lot of problems on the defense for sure.
How about at the game last night when they had the legends and you have Carl Esther Crumpler and Carl Esther Crumpler Jr. speaking of a great tight end. We need any way that we can get that position. That's one that's been a storyline for me all season long. I keep thinking, all right, we're going to have a great – where's the tight end? Where's the tight end? And it's just something that I've always – it's one of my favorite positions on the field. I think it's very – just like the offensive line, it's very underrated. It's widely – it's necessary and needed, and it's just – I don't know why it's non-existent. I guess maybe it's the style of offense that Montgomery would run, but you would think that since he wants to run the football that you would use at least a blocking tight end. But I could – anyway, I don't want to take up a lot of time on that. As far as
hey, I was gonna say final numbers on Holton Ahlers. He was 22 out of 31 for 242 yards, four touchdowns, no interceptions, and then he had 12 rushes for 130 yards and a couple of those scrambles that he had down at the boneyard into the field. That's what I know. One was tremendous there, fairly late in the game, maybe it was the third quarter, early fourth quarter, where he reversed field, and then one early in the game where he found Tyler Snead for a 24-yard touchdown pass. It wasn't exactly what you teach a quarterback to do. It's just one of those things, tremendous instincts and recognition by him throwing back across the field toward the north side and a big touchdown there when we were going back and forth with UConn.
Worst defense I've ever seen, well, with the exception of our defense last year. worst defense I've ever seen in Dowdy-Ficklin Stadium. That Connecticut defense is atrocious. I was thinking last night watching that game, could you imagine what our 2013 or 2014 offense would have did against that defense?
Oh, man. Oh. They would have put up 100 easily.
They could have put 200 up.
And 1,000.
They probably have 100 by the third quarter.
talk about Holton, too, Bubba. The one thing that I've really been pleased with, I didn't realize, you know, he was killing everybody at Conley High School, running and passing. I didn't realize he was that quick. I mean, it's evident when you're watching him. For a man 6'3", 235 pounds or 40, whatever he is, I mean, the kid is – I mean, he's got some wheels, buddy. I mean, he's got some moves, and he's strong as a bull, and he's special. I mean, the kid can flat run.
No doubt. I was just going to say, a comparison that I'd make, he's not nearly as heavy, but you remember back probably 15, 20 years ago now, guys, Jared Lorenzen at the University of Kentucky.
Yeah.
He was more like 275, 280, and then he ballooned up to over 300. But he's somebody that moved extremely well, and he's also a southpaw, so.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe, well, a little bit like Tebow. You know, he's a lot. Ayler's a lot like Tebow.
Well, hell, we'll just compare him to Gerard and make it easy.
by the way, Lorenz is over 500 now, and they did some kind of special on him on TV. I think the guy's like over 500 pounds, unless he's lost.
Yeah, it's pretty sad.
Oh my God. One of the questions I have for you guys is on social media, and get your take, because it's something I'm worried about, and people think I'm anti-Holton, and I am not. But one of the concerns I have is
the question on social media: if they're teal and gray or either pink or white. I got teal and gray.
Okay. No, I had my question would be to you guys: are people talking about the health of Holton? We've seen in the. I'm a Redskins fan. I saw what it did to RG3 to run the ball so much. My concern is not about this season because it's done. Obviously, I want to win a couple more games. It's basically playing for pride now. My concern is the future for Holton, and my concern is we're running it so much with Holton that I know sometimes you have to create plays, and he's a playmaker, no doubt. I'm just worried about I want to keep him healthy for 4 years and not just have him for one or two.
I agree, and a lot of that, Dave, is going to come, I think, down to putting a competitive offensive line out there. For example, the Tulane game, my God, every time he dropped back, he had three guys in his face. I mean, he was running for his life the whole time. But you got to be strategic when you run. Plus, you've got to put a competitive offensive line out there to block the kid.
Yeah, well, and having a good running back would take some of the carries off Holton. Yep. And it would also, when Holton did carry it, if you have a good running back and you're doing RPO or zone read, if you have a good running back off that zone read, then when Holton did carry it, he would carry it for big gains probably each time. So, but Holton's tough, man. Holton's a big physical kid like Tebow, like Gerard. He can handle some hits and carrying the ball. He's not going to get injured that easy. You know, anybody can get hurt, but he's not going to get hurt just because of a big hit. Something's going to have to happen. So he's a tough kid. I'll tell you, I'm really serious about this. If we get the right offensive coordinator in here, with the next head coach, if we're running the right offense, I truthfully believe Holton Ayler's has the potential. This is saying a mouthful, but just seeing him as a freshman, seeing the physical specimen he is, if we were to get the right head coach, right, I'd say I think Holton Ayler's has the potential by his senior year to be the kind of kid that could be a Heisman candidate. That could potentially be a first round draft pick. That could even go down to the annals of East Carolina football history. I just said annals. The annals of East Carolina football history. It's the greatest
he just wanted to say anal on the air, guys.
The greatest East Carolina quarterback of all time.
Well, you know what's great about that kid is, Alan, that makes me feel really, really proud. You've heard it a lot, maybe ad nauseum, but that kid could have gone anywhere, and he's a real pirate. And it doesn't matter who the coach is, but if we can have the right coach, as we're saying, and with those offensive minds that we mentioned on the show here, there's so many. I don't want to hear that Kyle and I off the air talk a lot about it. These people that talk about, oh, you're East Carolina, who are you going to get? We've got a lot of people for AD, ladies and gentlemen, and there's a lot of people that would kill to coach at East Carolina. So I don't want to hear that mess about who you're going to get. If it's a Pirate fan that loves Mo, that don't want him to go.
We can't afford anybody any better.
Yeah, that's a bunch of malarkey. All I know is this program is proud. We're Pirates, and we know how to win, and we're winners. And the last few seasons have been I'm very competitive. I don't care if it's tiddlywinks, if it's board games like I'm playing with my kids. I want to win. And so we've got to find a way that my coach said years ago, when you get tired of losing, you'll find a way to win. And it's time to find a way to win.
I agree. I don't think money is going to be really an issue. If we can find the right man, I think definitely think we can pay him. Plus, some of these other guys we're talked about, guys, you know, like the Butch Joneses and the Rich Rodriguez and those type kid guys. The buyouts they've guys have gotten from their past schools. I mean, you know, we could, you know, maybe start them, say, you know, million bucks and work them up. You know, is when their other money's running out to start compensating them more. But I mean, I don't think money's a real problem. I really don't. I think you're right, Dave. We can get a quality coach. I mean, we came up with a heck of a salary for Joe Dooley. I mean, that was you know, we got him. That was our number one man, and we got him. I think we do the same thing with football.
I was going to say there has to be a balance there, obviously, between you have to be in touch with what you bring to the table and what you can offer someone. But at the same time, a lot of these folks saying, oh, we can't get anybody, who else are we going to get? Then how about believing in your school and what ECU brings to the table? Yes, be realistic. But, I mean, I guess that's where, I mean, maybe I say be realistic. Some people's perception of reality and isn't matching up with ours, but
that's one thing, guys, that drives me nuts sometimes. I look on the line on these boards. I feel like having a case of freaking pacifiers and diapers. And some of these posters we got on there saying, "Woe's me, we're East Carolina. We can't get, you know, we can't get anybody worth a damn to be our coach." And look who we are. And I mean, come on, man. You suck on this damn pacifier, guys, and what, you know, come on, we're, you know, this is a football school. It always will be, always has been. We can get the fans back. We got a lot of passion. This is a heck of a good football job for somebody, the right man, and they can win big.
Oh, my God, I saw somebody post on the ECU football Facebook page. I don't know, I tagged David Bubba, I tagged you guys in it. The gentleman, I can't think of his name right now, posted this long post talking about how there's no way we can ever compete in the American Athletic Conference. We just financially can't do it. That's the reason we're losing. We need to go back down to Conference USA. It made me want to throw up.
You know something, Alan, that makes me, the people that they, I guess they're rewriting history or whatever. But my question is, when have we ever had money, number one, and we've won in the past? So that logic doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, it's ridiculous to think that it doesn't have to. In other words, more money doesn't mean you're going to win. Look at Kansas. They've got a lot of money. I was going to ask earlier, which is a better job if you're a coach right now? I know they're in the Power Five, but would you rather have Kansas or the rebuild at East Carolina? Which would you take?
Oh, I would take the rebuild of East Carolina in a heartbeat. I mean, we got everything in place here. I mean, the Big 12, Kansas, the best they'll ever do, if they're lucky, is be 500, maybe.
Bowl eligible.
I mean, we can do what UCF's doing now, man. I mean, what we almost did 4 or 5 years ago. I mean, we can win the American. We can go to a New Year's bowl game. I mean, you know, playing Fiesta Orange, whatever. I mean, we can get there here. I mean, it's a much easier route to do that from East Carolina than it would be to Kansas football.
Yeah, I'm just making the point that all the people that act like the Power Five and East, poor pitiful East Carolina, I know we've been down a couple of years, but you know what's interesting, Alan, is the fact that, and Bubba and Kyle can attest to this, the guests that we've had on that are national media guys, they're like, you guys are SEC fan, you've got an SEC fan base, you've got a lot of great things, and, you know, of course they don't talk about the budget the SEC schools have, but it makes me feel good to know that these analysts, talking heads, if you will, they come on our show and they're giving us lots of props of how great our school is. They may be nice, but I think that they genuinely mean that. I don't think they would say that we have an SEC fan base and that we have tremendous fans, and a great football program unless they really meant it.
I think in the football world, it's known that if we got the right man as head coach, we've got everything else in place, that we could be a top 25 program. No doubt, honest to God, I believe that. I always will believe that.
And we've had that before. And speaking of salaries too, wasn't Skip and I know Ruff, there's different ones. If you have season tickets or the same thing they did with Alan, you know, you're all three of us on, four of us actually, I can't count, on this podcast are big fans of all the programs, including basketball and baseball. And look what they did for Cliff Godwin. I mean, they put in the assistant coaches, they did all the right things for Cliff, and Dave Hart was a big part of that. He could have gone to Mississippi State a few years ago, in 2016, Alabama, and here we are. We've got a tremendous coach in him, what you talked about with Dooley, and you made the point about football. If you give a guy $1 million, $1.5 million, and you have a whole bunch of incentives, and another thing that's missing to the piece of it, when people are talking about coaches, I don't think it's an issue of paying the coach. I think the problem we've had in the past that we need to improve upon, if there's anything, is the money we have for good assistants.
Well, that's what we just did with Joe Dooley. I mean, that's the reason why we got the staff we have now. We had not only take care of Joe, but like you said, Dave, the key is what kind of money do you have in the pool to go get a quality assistant staff? I mean, we got the best coaching staff in basketball, man, we've ever had. And yeah, I agree with you. We need to do the same thing for football, and I think we will. I think if we land the right man, we've got to come up with the funds to let him have quality staff.
So do you guys have a timeline on – I know we're talking about it. You're right. So you think are we going to trust Cecil Staton with December 1st into football season, we'll have an AD?
I think he's going to do whatever Dave Hart tells him to do. If Dave Hart looks at him and says, Staton, you need to hire the freaking Grinch that stole Christmas as AD, that's who's going to be our AD.
Now you're right, because he doesn't
agree
to do otherwise.
Well, he's definitely been, speaking of wrestling, Alan, you, me, and Kyle are huge wrestling fans, especially old school wrestling. Bubba is not, he's learning, but for me, if Cecil Staton ever wants to go to heel, from heel to babyface, as sickening as that makes me sound, but if he wants to go to babyface, then if he hires the right AD that listens to Dave Hart, and the same thing with a football coach, all that heat on Cecil may just go away.
It would go away in a heartbeat. If he stays away from it, keeps it, you know, just stays as far away from athletics as he can.
Exactly.
And lets Dave Hart and whoever the new AD is going to be run the ship, and we start winning, he'll look like $1 million. Just stay
baby
away
face
from it.
Turn. Face turn. Here it comes.
What do you think, Kyle?
I kind of agree with Fired Al. I think Staton, Staton's going to do whatever Dave Hart tells him to. And hopefully Hart will make a good suggestion in terms of AD. I'm not necessarily sold on USM AD. Like I said, I do like the fact that he's a little Ryan grad with us being big Mike Houston fans. But I think we got to have an AD in place by the end of football season.
Yes.
I think if we don't, you know, a good way to have had an AD in place by the end of football season was to have hired one about 6 months ago. But
we started the podcast in March.
Yeah, exactly. Alan, but I don't have the DeLorean, so we can't do that. I think we got to have one in place for the football season. If we do, then hopefully they'll make the right decisions and hire the right people. Have you guys fired out? I know we haven't. Have you heard? Besides the Reflector article, I know that I'll drop a name. Barry told me that he spoke with Scott Weatherby, and according to Barry, Scott says he has not spoke with Dave Hart. Have you heard any other names that have actually been interviewed by Dave Hart besides Gilbert at USM?
No, I haven't. And I've got a really good friend of mine would be a fantastic AD, but I don't know if he's been, if they reached out to him yet or not. So that's Jeff Barber. Yes. Yeah. Very, very, he's a really good friend of mine. And
And you're talking about somebody that bleeds purple. Oh, my Lord.
So I can go on a 30-minute
But who else can we get, guys? Who else can we get?
Yeah. So, Barber, so you're saying that Jeff said that Dave Hart has not reached out to him?
No, I haven't talked to Jeff. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I do know that Igo was saying that, you know, all the he's reached out to some of the ECU connections, like the Jimmy Bass or Weatherby and Jeff Barber. I guess that's who he's talking about. I know Jimmy Bass is one of them that said as of right now they have not heard anything from ECU or Dave Hart. But I kind of think Dave's already got his man, guys, to be honest with you. I just think he's kind of, you know, we'll wait for the next week and a half, 2 weeks to play out. But, I mean, I may be way off, but I think he's already got it. I think he's already got somebody pretty much locked up.
Yes,
of course, I was going to say, of course you already know this, Pirate Al, but, of course, Dave Hart's time, the first time at ECU, it overlapped with Jeff Barber, correct, when he was with the Pirate Club. So that's something that I was hoping that would work in Jeff's favor.
Yeah. He definitely knows Jeff. Yeah, Jeff was the assistant Pirate Club director, and his dream when he left here was to work his way up and come back as our AD. And then from here he went to Furman. Then from Furman he was assistant athletic director at South Carolina for, I don't know, 8 or 10 years. And then he got the Liberty job, and he was up there. And the only reason why he was let go at Liberty was, I mean, that's kind of a Falwell deal. That's kind of he was shocked beyond belief because the program was really rolling up there. And Falwell decided to make a change, and it absolutely shocked Jeff. Jeff's such a class act. He's not going to throw Falwell in the bus and say anything negative about him. But he was completely shocked when he got that, you know, when he was called in and it was told that he is no longer the AD there.
Well, yeah, you look at Jerry Falwell Jr. I mean, what do you expect?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He probably just found out Jeff Barber wasn't in love with Donald Trump. And, you
know, I wanted to ask you guys as far as when it comes to Jeff Barber, I was really impressed with his resume. Of course, I knew a little bit about him. He came on our show, so that's obviously on the podcast. And it was obvious how much he loves East Carolina and the job. And he knew that we were interviewing because he's seen as a potential candidate. And I wanted to know more about him. And I felt like if he were hired today, I would be able to sleep easy at night knowing that he has the best interest of East Carolina. Plus,
yes,
not only is he East Carolina guy, this is what I know people think. I'm not being ECU homer. I'm not saying put an ECU graduate in there just because they went to ECU. It has to be the right fit as far as their accomplishments. My God, look at his resume, what he's done. I mean, he's definitely, to me, in the mix as far as being a candidate. I don't understand why. If we're East Carolina and we've had trouble, I think that we definitely need to interview a whole bunch of people and don't be locked in on as far as, like, if you're Dave Hart, just on one guy, you need to really interview a whole bunch of people to get a good feel on who's the right fit.
Well, David, you know, what I kind of feel right now, and just it's going to sound terribly corny, but I think what the fan base needs is a great big hug. And I think that's what a Scott Weatherby would be my preference. I love Scott. Or a Jeff Barber would be. It would be a familiar face. It would be a guy that the fan base would trust. It would be a guy that the fan base could rally around, that would rally the fan base, that believes. Both Scott Weatherby and Jeff Barber believe in this football program, believe it should win, believe we should be successful, believe this is unacceptable, and they could get the fan base back together, either one of those guys, and do it immediately. Yes, Scott Weatherby talking about, you know, Scott Weatherby, why he didn't go here, he referred to Greenville as home. You know, if you go back and listen to our interview with Weatherby, I caught him by the end of the interview referring to East Carolina as us and we. Mm-hmm. And, he wants to come home, you know, and he's got the pedigree. So, you know, he was the acting AD at Mississippi State. He's the AD at Eastern Michigan now. Him or Jeff Barber, either one to me, would be the right fits. If Gilbert comes in, if that is the call, if he comes in from USM, if he'll come in and make a good hire at football, if he'll get a Mike Houston or, you know, I'm talking about guys I know who will have ties to, Mike Houston and Butch Jones. Let's say he hires one of those two, then I think he could immediately win the fan base over.
something else to really emphasize as far as Jeff Barber is that background that he has in fundraising with the Pirate Club, the Paladin Club, and then also after that at South Carolina and, of course, yeah. Liberty. Wow. And now at Charleston Southern.
Somebody tell Staten about that? being a politician, he loves fundraisers.
No doubt about it. They are.
If that would happen, Dave, and we hired Jeff Barber, yeah, you could sleep like a baby. He would absolutely unite this whole Pirate Nation, and he'd have East Carolina number one. He wouldn't be looking out for Jeff Barber or trying to work his way up to a bigger school. I mean, this would be his last job, and he'd work his butt off for ECU, and he would have our best interest every time. I don't know. I mean, I feel like I'm his Bama agent, but I mean, you know, whatever happens, happens. But
I've been the same way for Weatherby, Al. So I don't feel
I mean, I like Scott. I like Scott too. I don't know Scott as well as I know Jeff, but those guys have a passion for ECU for sure.
And you know what comes to mind is when you're talking about Jeff Barber, and I love both Jeff or I'd be happy with either one. I know there's a lot of good candidates, but those are the two that really stick out in my mind. What about the gentleman with the Panthers? My memory, Danny
Morrison.
What do you think about him? Is that just a media thing?
I don't know how serious that is, but I'll tell you what, man. Just on paper, holy smokes, you're talking about a home run hire.
I mean,
with his connection and everything I've heard about the job he did at TCU. The man is like 64 years old. So, I mean, you're looking at like probably in a 4 or 5 year run, 6 year run. He'd be like sort of like a Terry Holland. I mean, he'd put a lot of, he'd bring a lot of attention to ECU athletics. But I mean, yeah, that would not be a bad move whatsoever from what I understand about the man.
Pirate Al, you know that 64 is the new 44. So he's got another 20 years, don't you think, in him?
You're probably right, man. He could probably get to about, he's like probably 75 if he has a good run here. But we'd definitely be his last job, that's for sure. I could imagine him, being here for 4 or 5 years and then going somewhere else at 70 years old.
I want to mention, too, Pirate Al, I'd love to have you if you can. I want to mention this on every podcast that we can. December 15th, we got a huge show, live podcast at Professor O'Cool's. We're going to actually honor the 1978 Independence Bowl championship team. We got a lot of great people coming, a lot of great players, a lot of people coming, period. And Linus Martinez, I've got to make sure he listens to the podcast. I got to talk to him anyway because the number of people coming. But we'd love to have you there that day if you can come. And it's 2 to 4 on that Saturday.
Yeah, I appreciate you inviting me. That sounds like a good time. That's about 4 years. I came to ECU in 82. So that was about 4 years before me. But the Theodore Suttons, A.C. Collins, Andrew Greens, all those guys, man, that was a heck of a team from what I understand. And
I'd like to be there. Players there.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. Yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun. I'll do my very best to be there.
And former coaches as well, we can say that. And some surprises. Some people already know what we're talking about, but some may not. So what
Dave,
if we
Dave, don't pat yourself on the back too hard.
Hey, and just going off topic just a hair, this is my 36th year of Pirate football. And
wow.
This is, if I had to name, what is our best team we've ever put on the field? 1983, brother. You mark that down. 1983 was the best football team we've ever put on the football field.
Well, guess what? We're actually working with 83 guys. We got a special Mr. Promotion here today, but we're going to have something special for them next month as well. So stay tuned. That's all I can say right now. We're going to definitely
– special group, buddy. I mean, I think we had 12 or 13 of those guys went on the pros. I mean, that's how talented that team was.
Yeah, and we were working
– fun fact. Bubba is 37 years old, and he also remembers the 1983 season.
thanks to my dad and then the 1983 highlight film, most definitely.
Well, you were talking about going to the games when you were, how old were you, two?
Yeah, I vaguely remember certain things, but...
No, you don't.
You remember when a Hump, it was later called Gizmo, but back at ECU in the day, his nickname was Hump. Do you remember Hump doing the flips, Bubba?
Yeah.
I do. I actually had a little toddler hat that had Henry Williams on the top of it doing the flip. It's probably something that definitely against NCAA rules today to sell something like that with the player's image representation.
Have that?
Like,
do you happen to have that?
I think it. I'll do my best to find it. I believe it's at my parents' house. So, I'll do my best to hunt that down and get a picture of it for our social media.
That'll be awesome. Bring it to our event maybe December 15th or definitely. Pirate Al, one thing that I wanted to ask you before we let you go, been a tremendous show. We're talking about doing a memorabilia show, and I wonder how much stuff that you – do you have like a whole house? Do you have like two or three houses full of pirate stuff?
I got a good bit of pirate stuff. I got my pirate room upstairs, and I've got the I've got a lot of cool stuff in there. The number one thing I've got in there is I've got the there used to be a sports bar in Charlotte called The Scoreboard. It was on Independence Boulevard. Bubba, you probably know where I'm talking about.
Yeah, I recognize that for sure.
Yeah, well, they had a big frame jersey of Marcus Crandall along with the program from 1995 football program, and I've got that in my pirate room that was hanging in that restaurant for probably 20 years. It's pretty cool. Well, when the restaurant went out of business, my buddy there in Charlotte Trip Williford got his hands on it and knew that I had a pirate room and he gave it to me.
Okay. Oh my God! Wow, that is extra cool. But that's something that we want to do at some point, and hopefully you can come back on many times. But that's one thing that I wanted to. I think it would be fun to talk about what people have. I think that's interesting, even though you can't see it. Maybe we can do something with Facebook Live or something.
Yeah, that'd be cool to do that. And my all time favorite. I've got a poster. I mean, I've got a framed picture of my all time favorite pirate, Morris Foreman. It's it's a pretty good, pretty cool little pirate room.
No doubt.
David, there's a gentleman, I'm actually crossing on Facebook, I can't remember his name right now, who has a pirate memorabilia website. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Anybody?
No, I don't.
I've seen the Facebook page you're referring to, but I haven't had the opportunity to really look at it a whole lot.
I'm not talking about you're talking about the pirate memorabilia Facebook page.
Okay. Okay.
This guy has an actual website, .com. And he added me a while back. I'll see if I can find his name on Messenger. And he has a huge collection. I believe he lives in the Greensboro area, but I cannot think of his name right now or the name of his website.
All right. Well, we'll definitely keep him in my mind, and certainly we can.
Hey, if any of the listeners know, or if he happens to be a listener, please reach out to us. Any of us on Facebook, Kyle Barber, Bubba Rosen, Bob Dave Risman, or email us at thesportsobj@gmail.com.
That's right, and do the same thing if you want to come to the event, right, Bubba?
Yeah, definitely. If you're RSVPing for the 40th anniversary podcast party for the 1978 Independence Bowl champs, then reach out to us at thesportsobj@gmail.com or just go on our Facebook page under the event and just let us know how many are going to be in your party, and we'll get you marked down for that. But I did have something else to add, Dave, very quickly. And Pirate Al, a moment ago, mentioned Marcus Crandall. He's doing a tremendous job as an analyst this year on 94.3 The Game. So I just wanted to give Patrick Johnson and 94.3 The Game a plug in the tremendous job that Marcus Crandall, he was an excellent addition for them.
No doubt about it. And certainly they're going to be, certainly they're lucky to have him, as I know they are. And we're going to have a special basketball preview coming up, so we'll be working on that. We'll get out hopefully tomorrow, and we'll be doing that as well. So in the meantime, Pirate Al, Alan Powell, thank you so much. You're a tremendous pirate. We've been wanting to have you on. Bubba, how long have I been talking about getting Pirate Al on?
probably a month and a half, 2 months at least.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate it, guys. It's been the last hour or so. It's flown by. I've had a ball. It's great to talk to people that have as much passion for the Pirates as I do. There's not many of us out there that absolutely live, breathe, and sleep the Pirates. And it's been a lot of fun. I appreciate you letting me join you.
Absolutely. You're welcome anytime on this platform. And I know hopefully we'll get a coach and administration that will have I miss your days of calling in to the coaches show, so hopefully we get that back as well. Let's do some retro stuff when we're winning. Notice we were winning and we had a coaches call-in show, but I'll leave it that. Kyle from LaGrange Barber, thank you so much, dude. Bubba Rosenbaum, you've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast.
You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast. Join us next time as the guys will be objective, and the objective is sports.